Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Translation. O virtuous one, you've only once seen my person, and this is just to increase your desire for me. Because the more you hanker for me, the more you will be freed from all material desires. Purport. A living being cannot be vacant of desires. He is not a dead stone. He must be working, thinking, feeling, and willing. But when he thinks, feels, and wills materially, he becomes entangled, and conversely, when he thinks, feels, and wills for the service of the Lord, he becomes gradually freed from all entanglement. The more a person is engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord, the more he acquires a hankering for it. That is the transcendental nature of godly service. Material service has satiation, whereas spiritual service of the Lord has neither satiation nor end. One can go on increasing his hankerings for the loving transcendental service of the Lord, and yet he will not find satiation or end. By intense service of the Lord, one can experience the presence of the Lord transcendentally. Therefore, seeing the Lord means being engaged in his service, because his service and his person are identical. The sincere devotee should go on with sincere service of the Lord. The Lord will give proper direction as to how and where it has to be done. There was no material desire in Narada, and yet, just to increase his intense desire for the Lord, he was so advised. Srila Prabhupada ki, Omagyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya, Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha, Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale, Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale, Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Nitinamine Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pashtatya Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. So, we reach the section of the Bhagavatam where Narada Muni is narrating his life story to Srila Vyasadeva. If you remember, in the previous chapters, specifically chapter 1, the sages asked 6 questions to Suta Goswami. And the 6th question was, where did religious principles go after Krishna left? What did religious principles take shelter of? Where did they take shelter? And Suta Goswami explained that the religious principles took shelter of the Bhagavatam. And he went on to narrate the glories of the Bhagavatam, Krishna Swadhamapagate, Dharma Gyana Divisaha, Kalonashta Drishamesha Puranarko Dunodita, explaining that the Bhagavatam is basically what Krishna left behind after he went back to the spiritual world. And within the Bhagavatam, everything is contained. So after speaking about the glories of the Bhagavatam, the sages inquired from him to speak more about the Bhagavatam. How did it come to be? Who wrote it? Where did I get inspiration from? So then Suta Goswami went on to describe how Srila Vyasadeva, sitting in his ashram, could foresee how the age of Kali would degrade and people would become so fallen that they needed easier access to the Vedic literature. So he decided to simplify the Vedic literature, divided them into so many other literatures. And then Suta Goswami also explained that after having done all that, he was still feeling dissatisfied. And at that point, his spiritual master, Srila Narad Muni, appeared to him, because Narad Muni could sense that his disciple was in anxiety, so he appeared to him and instructed him as to how to overcome this dissatisfaction, explained to him that he needed to spend more time and energy glorifying the Supreme Lord, because when he divided the Vedic literature, he didn't actually do that. He overemphasized the materialistic aspects of the Vedic literature, inadvertently, or maybe consciously, Krishna's arrangement, who knows. But he overemphasized the Karmakanda section of the Vedic literature and did not put enough emphasis on the Supreme Lord. So Narad Muni instructed him to rectify the situation. And Narad Muni to substantiate his instruction and his assertion, gave evidence from his own life to Srila Vyasadeva as to why he should spend more time and energy to glorify the Bhagavatam and devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. So narrating his life, explaining that he became a devotee through the association of the Bhaktivedantas, and then after the Bhaktivedantas left, he also left after his mother died. Because Vyasadeva asked him, what did you do after these great sages left? He explained that my mother died and I decided to drop everything and then I went on the pilgrimage. So this section here is Narad Muni speaking about what happens while he was on this pilgrimage. He ended up in a forest and was meditating on the Supreme Lord. And the Lord appeared to him. But then at one point, because he wasn't sufficiently purified, the Lord disappeared. And Narad Muni, in anxiety, wondering what happened, again tried to absorb himself in the same kind of meditation that he performed previously. But still the Lord was not appearing to him. And the Lord, sensing that Narad Muni was in anxiety, appeared to him to explain to him why. So this verse is the Lord speaking, Narad Muni explaining what the Lord said to him. And this verse specifically is very important because it gives us a few indications about the Lord's characteristics. And also gives us some indications of what we need to do as devotees in order to achieve the mercy of the Lord. These are just some of the explicit things that are presented in this verse. But then implicitly also, it shows that the Lord is very merciful to the devotee. How is he merciful to the devotee? In this particular verse, the Lord explains why sometimes in the devotee life, the devotee may experience some kind of dissatisfaction when the Lord becomes absent to the devotee. Right? Sometimes in our spiritual life, we're performing devotional service, and in the beginning, everything is going nicely. We are getting the higher taste, right? The free sample. But then at some point, it goes away. And generally what happens then is that if the devotee is not strong, the tendency is to become disheartened, disencouraged, and lose enthusiasm in the process of devotional service. So here Krishna is explaining the reason why he does this, and he explains this to Narad Muni, that the reason why he does this is to increase the desire of the devotee for him. Right? Because the tendency of the conditioned soul is that when things are given too easily, there's no appreciation for it. Right? So the Lord, being very intelligent, makes sure that a living entity is kept on his toes by giving him just enough for him to become attached, and then disappearing to increase that attachment. So in Bhagavatam, there's one verse where Prabhupada in the purport explains that the Lord, the Supreme Lord, is more clever than the living entity, and he wants to see how painstakingly the living entity endeavors to achieve his mercy. So he makes, sometimes he makes things a little difficult and a little bit more challenging for us. Why? Because his main objective is to help us grow in our devotional service. Sometimes people have this notion, especially in the world outside, because of the misunderstanding about God's position, they think that God is supposed to be the order supplier. God is supposed to give us everything that we want. God is supposed to make us happy because we are the enjoyer, and God is supposed to assist us in this enjoyment. So people come to God knowing that he's powerful to seek these facilities. But Krishna's main objective is not to provide material facilities for the living entity. Krishna's main objective is to help the living entity grow in a devotion to him. This is the purpose of the material world. There is no other purpose. By hook or by crook, somehow or other, how can I bring this jiva back to my lotus feet? And sometimes that may require a little bit of testing. So how do we avoid losing enthusiasm when we're put through these situations, just like Narad Muni here lost the vision of the Lord? How do we make sure that we don't become disheartened and discouraged when we're put through this situation? There are various examples in scripture where we see personalities who were also put in similar situations by the Lord. We see the Pandavas were also tested by the Lord. We see other personalities in other parts of Shastra tested by the Lord. But when you analyze these pastimes of all these personalities, the one thing that they always did is that they had the association of other devotees around. Because through the association of devotees, we are constantly reminded how merciful the Supreme Lord is. Without the association of devotees, it's very difficult to remain enthused in devotional service. And this pastime of Narad Muni also demonstrates this vividly, because Narad Muni's devotional life started through the association of devotees. This is how important it is. Without the association of devotees, nothing is possible in devotional life. If you analyze the Bhagavatam, nobody came to Krishna consciousness without at least coming in contact with a devotee, save and except for perhaps Lord Brahma, who was born from the Lord's navel. Nobody else came to Krishna consciousness without the association of devotees. Dhruva Maharaj needed the association of Narad Muni. He had gone to the forest to acquire some powers and a greater kingdom than his grandfather. And it was only when Narad Muni appeared to him, that he was given the Bhakti Lata. Narad Muni himself, he got access to devotional service through the association of the Bhakti Vedantas. So, through this pastime here, we implicitly get this important principle of the importance of the association of devotees. Devotional service starts with the association of devotees, continues with the association of devotees, and ends in the association of devotees. Even at a stage of perfection, where sometimes great sadhus may withdraw to practice the devotional service in seclusion, it's explained that even then they are still taking association of devotees, because then they are absorbed in the spiritual reality, in the spiritual world, and they're associating with the devotees in the spiritual world. Without association, it's impossible to make advancement. And without association, it's impossible to maintain one's advancement. That's the first thing. And the other thing that one needs to do in order to maintain this enthusiasm is that one has to become fixed in practices of devotional service, one's sadhana. We see in the pastime of Bharat Maharaj, when he went to the forest and he was performing all his austerities in the forest, and somehow or other he became attached to a deer. Right? And due to this attachment, he became lax in his performance of devotional service, and he gave up his practices and his sadhana. He became weak in his sadhana. And because he became weak in his sadhana, he lost enthusiasm. and he fell down from his position. And in that section, Srila Prabhupada explains that no matter how advanced one must be, one must make sure that whatever practices that have been given to them by the spiritual master and the scripture must be maintained. One should not think that I've reached a stage where I can become, where I can relax in the practice of devotion. Now, of course, maintaining is very hard. So, therefore, this is why we again have the Association of Devotees to keep us enthused, right? Because in the Association of Devotees, we are protected from the material energy. Yes. The example are given just like you have a herd of wild animals, buffaloes. Now, buffaloes, when they're together, they have a very strong bond, and the weaklings are protected from the attacks of the predators. But when a weakling strays away from the herd, he's very vulnerable to the predator. So, by hook or by crook, whatever happens, one must remain in the Association of Devotees. And how to remain in the Association of Devotees? It requires a great deal of humility and tolerance, and also appreciating and understanding the importance of this association. This is why Prabhupada gave us this process of hearing and chanting and studying Bhagavatam in the Association of Devotees. By studying Bhagavatam, because Bhagavatam is non-different from Krishna, and wherever Krishna is, devotees also are. So when we study Bhagavatam and hear Bhagavatam regularly, we hear about the pastimes of the Lord with his devotees, and we not only get an idea of the glories of the Lord, we also get an idea of how glorious the devotees are. And this inspires us to transcend and endure the difficulties that come through the Association of Devotees. Yes. Prabhupada explains that he gives the example of utensils. And he said that when he put a bunch of utensils together, Shishirada, Gokulananda ki, Sitaram, Lakshman, Anuman, ki, Shishigoni, Tai, ki, Srila Prabhupada, ki. So when you have a bunch of utensils together, there's bound to be some kind of friction, there's bound to be some noise, there's bound to be some... So in the same way, when we're in an association of devotees, we have so many different natures, so many different personalities, and so many different character traits. So sometimes there's going to be some kind of conflict and some kind of clashes. But Prabhupada explains that keeping one's eye on the bigger picture, one is able to tolerate this. Like that. Now, tolerance is not the only thing that one needs to have to remain in association of devotees. One also needs to understand how to take the association of devotees. Yeah? Because we're conditioned, and the conditioning means that for so many lifetimes we have developed this kind of consciousness that we are the center and we are the enjoyer. So whenever we're put in a particular situation, our focus is how to derive enjoyment for the particular situation. And this sometimes also includes the association, the Sangha of devotees. Sometimes when we come into the Association of Devotees, we start to look at devotees as persons who are supposed to facilitate our sense gratification. Right? So sometimes devotees may say that I've been practicing devotional service for many years and I've been coming to the temple for many years and I'm still not getting that taste of Krishna consciousness. And the reason for this is explained that it's actually because it's not what you do, it's the way that you do it. So someone may be chanting Hare Krishna for 30 years, 40 years, but if the quality of their sadhana is not there, then the benefit won't be experienced just as much, right? Sometimes people that ask me, Prabhu, you're living in Mayapur Dham, then you must be like getting so much nectar. How's your bhakti? How's your practice going on? You know, Lord Chaitanya is so merciful. You must be getting the benefit of living in Mayapur Dham. But even living in Mayapur Dham, I've experienced for myself that without conscious application, one does not experience the ecstasy that one is supposed to experience, even in such an environment. Right? Because the application is the most important thing. The environment is supposed to facilitate one who consciously applies themselves. It's not the environment alone. In the pastime of Durvasa Muni and Ambarish Maharaj, when Durvasa Muni came to see Ambarish Maharaj, and he'd been fasting, and it was time to break the fast, the first thing he did before doing so is that he went to the Yamuna to take a bath. Now it's explained that when he went to the Yamuna, he was sat in the middle of the Yamuna, chanting his mantras and performing his oblations, and he was meditating on the impersonal Brahman. He was in the middle of Yamuna, which washes the lotus feet of the Lord, where the Lord frolics with his cowherd boyfriends and the gopis. The Yamuna is infused with devotion and bhakti, but he was in the Yamuna, and he was thinking about the impersonal Brahman. So in the same way, we may be in the Krishna consciousness movement, we may be quote-unquote taking shelter of the society of devotees, but our consciousness may not be at the lotus feet of the Lord because we're not applying ourselves properly. Right? So when we analyze the lives of persons in the Shastra who derived the benefit of the association of devotees, we see that what they did differently. One classic example is the person we're discussing right now, Narad Muni, who became a great soul through the association of Bhaktivedantas. And he was only he only had a sangha for 4 months. But he explained to Vyasadeva that in those 4 months, he achieved a stage of prema. Right? He reached a stage of prema. And how was this possible? Because Narad Muni applied himself. So when you look through the verses, as he's explaining to Vyasadeva what he did, the first thing that Narad Muni did is that he had the right attitude, right? This is in chapter 5, text 23. Narad Muni explains. He says here, O Muni, in the last millennium, I was born as the son of a certain maidservant engaged in service of brahmanas who were following the principles of Vedanta. When they were living together during the 4 months of the rainy season, I was engaged in a personal service. Although they were impartial by nature, those followers of the Vedanta blessed me with a causeless mercy. As far as I was concerned, I was self-controlled. I had no attachment for sports, even though I was a boy. In addition, I was not naughty, and I did not speak more than required. Once only by their permission, I took the remnants of their food, and by so doing, all my sins were at once eradicated. Thus being engaged, I became purified in heart, and at that time, the very nature of the transcendentalist became attractive to me. And then he goes on to describe more of what he did. He said, in that association, and by the mercy of those great Vedantists, I could hear them describe the attractive activities of Lord Krishna, and thus listening attentively, my taste for hearing of the personality of Godhead increased at every step. So Narad Muni applied himself how? He had the right attitude. And the attitude of Narad Muni was basically an attitude of service. Right? He was in the association of those Bhaktivedantas, and he took a service attitude. Instead of thinking of how can I enjoy this association? How can I use this association to further myself materially? He was considering how to please and serve the Bhaktivedantas, right? So he engaged in the service. So sometimes in association of devotees, we don't have the same kind of consciousness. We're around the devotees, but because our consciousness is not right, and we are engaging in this, quote-unquote, engaging in this association with our own consciousness, we don't derive the benefit. So Prabhupada gives us the example of just like a fly. The fly is around, floating around the face of the devotee, but it doesn't mean to say that the fly is taking association. The fly is within the vicinity of the devotee. The fly is in the proximity of the devotee, but the fly is not taking the association. Another example, he gives the example of the mosquito. The mosquito gets quite close to the sadhu when the sadhu is speaking, to the point where the mosquito is drinking the blood of the sadhu. But because the mosquitoes does not have an attitude of service, rather an attitude of enjoyment and causing pain to the sadhu, then the mosquito does not get the same benefit. So this is something that we have to assess. What, on a daily basis, we have to question, why are we in the association of devotees? Are we here to serve the devotees because that pleases Krishna, or are we indirectly trying to enjoy that association? Something we have to question ourselves every day. One great devotee who used to be here, Bhaktivedanta Mana, once told me that every day she wakes up and she feels like she meditates on the first time she joined the Krishna Consciousness Movement. She puts herself back in the shoes of a new bhakta. Right? When you're a new bhakta and you come to the Krishna Consciousness Movement, you're very meticulous in your application. Right? Everything you do has to be perfect, because you have not yet experienced Krishna consciousness fully. You want to experience it. So you want to do everything that pleases Krishna properly. But when you've been in the process for some time, you've done pretty much all the services there is to do. You've given all the classes. You've received all the adulation and the praise that one could get. You've been to all the different Sangha programs. You sat on all the different sizes of Vyasasans. So then you develop some kind of familiarity. So I have to think, I'm a great devotee. I know everything there is to know. I know the tricks of the process, you know. I know what time to turn up at the pujari room so I can get a cup of mahaprasad and all these different things. But when you're a new bhakta, it's different. It's like, Prabhuji, Hare Krishna, how are you, Prabhu? Is there some service I can do for you? You see someone sat straight on the floor, you're like quick to offer him a cushion because you want to take every opportunity to serve, just like Hanuman. But then when you've been around for a while, then it's like dragging the heels. So she was telling me that whenever she wake up in the morning, she tried to put herself in that consciousness again. New bhakta, just joined the movement. So this was the attitude of Narad Muni. He had the right attitude because he appreciated this association, and his attitude of service and humility was there. And the second thing is that he was respectful in his dealings also. There was no familiarity there. He said he observed all etiquette, even to the point of asking permission before taking the Mahaprasad, which is something that devotees don't usually do. Right? But he was so strict in his adherence of Vaishnava etiquette that he went to the point of asking permission before taking Mahaprasad. This is not an absolute principle, but it's quite interesting to see that. You can just imagine how Narad Muni was around those Bhaktivedantas. And part of the reason was because he knew where he was coming from. He was the son of a Shudra. It was quite clear to him that he had nothing to be proud of. So sometimes it's useful for us to remember where we came from. Yeah? And sometimes it's useful to surround ourselves with people to remind us who we are. Because a lot of the time as devotees, we tend to associate with people who puff up our false ego. But a real devotee will associate with people who tell him and reflect him like a mirror, tell him, these are your faults. Right? Because by doing this, then we understand our position. And it's very difficult to be proud, because what have I got to be proud of? That's why sometimes it's encouraged that we spend time serving the spiritual master directly, because spiritual master is the last person who's going to glorify you. In fact, he's going to be smashing you every 5 minutes. So it's recommended that we take sometimes engage in services that are challenging to us. Yeah? That's why many times when people first join the movement, we send out on book distribution or preaching services, because when you have to sit on an asana, or when you have to give a lecture, or when you have to try to distribute a book to a quote-unquote karmi who doesn't care how big or GBC or whatever you are, it's very purifying. Right? So Narad Muni here knew where he was coming from, therefore he could show that respect and he had the proper attitude towards the Bhaktivedantas. Then the next thing he speaks about is that he was in this association, all the talks and all the hearing was Krishna conscious. It was all focused around Krishna. And this is another very important point, because by nature, we are social animals, as is explained in the social studies or whatever, explain that man is a social animal. So whenever we are in a group or in an environment where there's other people, the tendency is to socialize, and a lot of the time this also creeps into the association and devotees, where many times our discussions and the talks we engage in are not Krishna conscious. We have practical examples of this. We know this, right? Even in the Brahmacharya ashram sometimes, a lot of the time. I should not reveal these things, but I'm not part of this ashram anymore, so I can. So, yeah, Brahmacharya ashram, whichever ashram. Sometimes in the association of devotees, we tend to get into time-wasting, talking a lot of prajalpa. But Narad Muni here did not waste a single second engaging in non-Krishna conscious activities. He was always hearing about Krishna from the Bhaktivedantas. Right? And because of this, because he had the right attitude, an attitude of service, he was respectful in his dealings, and all his talks were centered around Krishna, he mastered the art of association to the point where that association had an effect on his consciousness up until point where he reached the stage of even prema. Right? If it wasn't for that, for his application in that association, right, he would have never reached that point where he was able to get the darshan of the Lord directly. Not just once, but he sees the Lord once, the Lord disappears, he gets upset, and then the Lord feels inclined to come back and explain why he disappeared. That's how great a devotee he was. And this all started in the association of devotees. And in his application, he got the benefit of this association. So in this verse, Prabhupada explains, Lord Krishna explains that he does not reveal himself in a consistent manner to the devotee until he's developed a hankering. And this hankering can be achieved when one actually applies himself to the process of devotional service properly. Not just doing devotional service as a matter of passion or just because we have to. When one, every day, he's crying and seeking the darshan of the Lord, then the Lord comes. And Prabhupada goes on to explain that by engaging in this service with such intensity, one can experience the presence of the Lord transcendentally, because service is not different from seeing the Lord. Right? So, like Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur explains, that don't try to see Krishna, act in such a way that Krishna will want to see you. Right? That means your service has to be so potent that Krishna himself will come to see you, just like Narad Muni. And this is possible when we go beyond the call of duty, when we surrender our false ego. And this is possible when we educate ourselves and learn to value the process that we've been given, like that. No matter what services we've been given, no matter how skilled we are at it, if we give 100% to the service, then Krishna will be pleased and then eventually reveal himself, no matter what service it is. Externally, the service may appear to not have gone properly. Yeah? But Krishna looks at the endeavor, Krishna sees the endeavor. Right? It's Bhakta Vatsala. It's like the pastime of Lord Ram and Hanuman and the squirrel. The squirrel was just pushing, some people say squirrel, some people say spider. It doesn't matter, it was a small animal, either way. So, it could just be a rat for all that matters. But the squirrel or the spider was just pushing small grains of sand, and Hanuman was lifting big rocks. And Hanuman was thinking that he's lifting up big rocks is the greatest service, and the squirrel should just move out of the way. But Lord Ram noticed, and Lord Ram intervened and corrected Hanuman, that the squirrel is doing the best he can. And because he's doing the best he can, I appreciate that service just as much as yours. And in fact, we can go as far as saying that if you're lifting all these big rocks, but if your consciousness is not right, Krishna would appreciate the smaller service more. It's like when he went to see Vidura and Duryodhana. Vidura was so bewildered that Krishna has come to my house, and he started feeding Krishna banana peels. And Duryodhana had arranged such a nice, sumptuous feast. But his mood and his bhava was to try to show off how great a personality I am. And Vidura had bhakti. He was trying to serve Krishna and to please Krishna. But unfortunately, due to ecstasy, he made a few mistakes here and there. But Krishna was more pleased by that than he was by Duryodhana's grandiose arrangements. So when we're given a service, we should always remember that Krishna looks into the heart that's been put into that service, not so much the execution of the service. Of course, when the heart is into it, then one will take, will make sure they pay attention to the details, to try to do the service as best as possible for Krishna. But sometimes, due to karmic inheritance, psychophysical makeup, one is not able to perform certain services as best as someone else, but they've been put in that position, they've been requested to do that service. So if they apply themselves to that service, Krishna focuses on that. So it's a very important point here that Lord Krishna is making to Narad Muni. It's important because for us as devotees, it helps to keep us inspired even when we're going through difficulties in our spiritual life and it appears that Krishna is not showing himself to us. And it's also a very important point because it shows that Krishna is not whimsical, right? Everything that he does is perfectly planned, right? Even his absence from the devotee's eyesight is planned. There's nothing whimsical about the Lord. So this is a very important person. There's more to come. Narad Muni will continue to describe his life story to Vyasadev and narrate what the instructions that the Lord has given him and how he became perfect. And by hearing these pastimes and reading this pastime, we can also learn how we can perfect our life by following the footsteps of Narad Muni. So I'll stop here, because these are some of the points that came to me. Now, if there are any questions or additions or adjustments...